thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, as we come this morning, I want to speak about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And I don't have any points this morning. Now, that hopefully that doesn't mean it's a pointless sermon. But I don't have 3 points for you, so you'll have to concentrate. And I've come to speak about the fear of the Lord in the background of what we're going through, in what we're living through at this time. You know, there are times in our personal lives, in our families, in our nations, and even in our world, when fear comes to the forefront, when fear seems to dominate and dictate almost everything that we do, almost everything that we don't do. 58 years ago, in October 1962, some of you were around for that. You remember it. And the world held its breath as a tense standoff began to develop between the Soviet Union and America. And it played out on a world stage. It became known as the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Russians tried to post nuclear missiles in the island of Cuba on America's doorstep, and the standoff developed. And the world waited, literally in fear and trembling. Fear and trembling at the potential of an all-out nuclear war that would bring complete annihilation of the planet. And it seemed to be a very real possibility. And we know, actually, from historical records that it really was a very real possibility. And at times we were minutes away from nuclear annihilation. What about today? What about the times we are living in? Maybe not quite so dramatic or as intense, but nevertheless, we are told that infections are soaring. A second wave is coming. A winter wipeout is on the horizon. Another lockdown is looming. We take this virus seriously. We know it is real. We know there have been casualties. People have died. But what are we to do with our fears? And as we get all this new information as it comes, it's almost like here we go again. And that leads to fear we go again. We need to talk about fear. But we need to talk about fear as believers, not as unbelievers. We get our news from, for the most part, as we understand it, people who do not believe in God. You say, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, that's okay if we are given facts, and facts come to us. But news has developed into something far beyond a factual reporting these days. There is the daily drip of despair. We need to take seriously these things, this virus. We need to be wise. We need to take these precautions. We need to understand what is happening. We need to protect the vulnerable, and we need to do that seriously. But there is also a sense where fear can come and grip our hearts. There's a rational fear, and there's an irrational fear. There's a healthy fear, there's an unhealthy fear. There's a godly fear, and there's an ungodly fear. The Apostle Paul, writing to a young and timid pastor called Timothy, said this in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. He says to young Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame or to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And we know this. We know that Paul himself was fearful at times, the great apostle himself, most notably when he was in Corinth, Acts 18, 9 to 11. It says this, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid. So how do we know that the great apostle Paul was afraid? Because God told him not to be afraid. So he was fearful. But God said to him, go on speaking, don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. So Paul is fearful of an attack. He's fearful of being harmed. The great apostle himself. And God himself has to come and reassure him, tell him not to be afraid. And he goes on to say, the Lord goes on to say to Paul, I have many people in this city who are mine. And so Paul stayed there a year and a half teaching the word of God amongst them. We can all be susceptible to fear. There is no super spiritual level that we get to that we're immune from fear in all its varieties. Fear, what is it? Where does it come from? Why do we fear? What's the difference between godly fear and ungodly fear? Can fear ever be a good thing? How did slavish fear enter our world? Did God create us to be little slaves who are slavishly cowering in a corner? No, he didn't. God created us for himself. So how do we get into this place where fear grips hearts and minds? Well, Genesis 3, from verse 8 to 10, says this. After the fall, after Adam and Eve had sinned, and we get to verse 8 of chapter 3 in Genesis. And they, that's Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, which was the normal course of events, that the Lord would come and walk with them and they would fellowship and there would be just a wonderful time in a perfect universe, in a perfect world. The man and his wife, this time, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Of course, it wasn't because God didn't know where he was. Of course, the Lord knew where Adam was. It was for Adam to come to that place and that realization where he himself knew where he was and what he was doing. Where are you, Adam? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. Now, normally the sound of the Lord coming in the garden would have been a trigger for him to run to God, to run to the Lord. This time it was a trigger to run from the Lord. I heard you. I was afraid. I was fearful because I was naked and I hid myself. A slavish kind of fear entered into this world and entered in through Adam and Eve and down through the generations to us. So now our view of God himself is now completely distorted. And it's all out of shape. Why? Because of sin. And because of the fallenness, because of the rebellion, because of the disobedience that is in every heart that is born into the world. And that fear that drives us from God instead of to him. Now we have to contrast that with many verses in the Bible that talk of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. You know, I think it's really hard for us to think biblically and properly about the fear of the Lord. We have such a one-dimensional and narrow understanding of what fear is. And when we think of the fear of the Lord, we tend to carry the baggage of our negative experiences of fear into our understanding of what the fear of the Lord is. And so it's contaminated, it's distorted, and we think of God as someone to be dreaded and a cringing, slavish fear, and somehow we try to please him, but we fear we never will be able to please him. Why is that? Why has fear left such an indelible mark upon us? Well, possibly because fear is such a powerful and it's a dominating emotion. If you experience fear, all of you experiences fear. Your body experiences, your mind, your emotions, everything is being gripped at the same time. Everything is lined up to focus on one thing, danger. The wasp. This is the season of the wasp, isn't it? Poor things are starving half to death. They're looking everywhere for something to eat, and they're coming into your house and mine in their droves. Spiders. The spider season is also upon us. Huge ones, look, massive biceps, hairy arms, tattoos on their forehead and everything, walking about your living room. It's just frightening. The wasp season. Mice. They're poor wee critters. All they're looking for is a nice warm place to hole up for the winter. Got no compassion in your heart. You see, we fear these things and more. You think of the offering plate. You see, when we fear something, and maybe some things that are even more serious than that, it leaves its mark on us. And when we think of the fear of the Lord, we tend to think of that negative thing, that debilitating, paralyzing emotion of fear. So it's easy to see how fear has become seen to be a totally negative, unhealthy, unhelpful emotion, even in relation to God. It can be hard to shake that off. It can be hard to shake off negative, destructive feelings when we think of the fear of God. And yet the Bible clearly says the fear of the Lord is a good thing. To fear God is an essential thing. To fear God is a wholesome thing. To fear God is a wonderful thing. To be in that place where we have a fear of God is a liberating thing, a joyful thing, a saving thing, when we rightly think about the fear of God. Are we rightly thinking about the fear of the Lord? You see, there are so many fears that can swamp us. And we anticipate them coming. And what it does, it can take our minds and our hearts away from God, from His Word, from resting in Him and trusting in Him and coming to Him, because we are so distracted by what if. Jesus says, listen, take no thought for tomorrow. We've got enough to be going on with for today. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Got enough to handle in the here and now. To fear the Lord is to love the Lord. To fear the Lord is to honor Him, to worship Him, to be in complete awe of Him. In the sense of recognizing His immensity, His magnificence, the immeasurable, unfathomable greatness of His being and His perfection and His holiness. To fear Him is to embrace Him. And to run to Him, not from Him. You see, to have our body and our mind and our emotions all lined up and focused on danger is one thing. But to have our body, our mind, our emotion, our spirit, our all in all lined up and focused not on danger but on the delight of our soul, God Himself surely has to have a greater impact upon us than negative fear. The impact of the presence of God driving out all fear. This is not natural for us. It is natural for us to have a slavish fear, a negativity, a paralyzing fear that really does shrink our hearts. That's natural. It's supernatural to go beyond that and to say, yes, I understand this. I understand the dangers. I rationalize and I reason this. And yes, you know, maybe I am still a bit fearful, but I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to focus not on the fearful thing, but on the fearful one. The God who is beautiful and magnificent and who loves me with an everlasting love. And I'm focusing body, soul, and spirit. And I'm laying my body, my mind, my all before Him. And I'm saying, Lord, as I behold You, will You change me? Will You inform my mind? Will You transform me into Your likeness as I gaze upon You? Have you ever noticed that about something that you really fear? You focus on it. There's a spider somewhere. Those of you who are not keen on spiders, you'll either do one of two things. You will either flee or you will focus. Or maybe you will do both and end up falling over something. But you will focus. And you will not take your eyes off of that thing. Graham. Jack. You know, Guys, or maybe ladies also, you ever been in the house, minding your own business, having a lovely, peaceful evening, when out of the blue, a skirl, a shriek, the mad axeman surely, literally has burst in through the door. And your heart leaps with fear and you think, what on earth? And you run into the room and she's pointing. It's there. Where? There. That's what you do when you fear something. You focus and you're consumed by it. Can we transfer that? What we naturally do with the help of the Holy Spirit to focus and be transfixed upon Him. That's the fear of the Lord. To be transfixed, to not be able to take our eyes off of Him, not because of danger, but because of delight. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, David says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze, gaze, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. As someone who fears the Lord, transfixed, locked onto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if I fear Him, I need fear no one and nothing. All our other fears are put in their box and put in their place. We all sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We love that song. It's amazing. Do you know where it was born? It was born in the middle of a storm. It was born as a completely ungodly man came face to face with his mortality and was gripped with the fear of death as he transported slaves. And what happened? A fear gripped him. And yet he remembered something. His mother had tutored him up to the age of 7 when she died. And she taught him the things of God. She taught him the things of the fear of God, the word of God. And in that moment of his dreadful fear of death, awakened within him was the fear of God and the memory of a pardoning God, of a Savior. And later he wrote this, and we've sung it a million times. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to what? To fear. Grace. The love of God. The mercy of God taught my fearful heart to fear Him. And in that fear, he found freedom. The fear of the Lord brings freedom. Hallelujah. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. What's going on? The fears that dominated him would have dragged him to the bottom of the ocean. A fear of death. And a certain fear of judgment to come. Oh, grace taught his heart to fear the living, pardoning God. Ah, and all these other fears were relieved because the fear of God consumes them all. Consumes them all. and allows us and enables us to walk in this world with dignity as believers, not distracted, not contained, and not chained by fears of the daily drip that comes to us. And anyway, what if one day, perchance, we should die? Perish the thought. Folks, death can only bring us closer to God. Is that a delight? Or is that a dread for you? Do you dread that day? Or do you delight in that day? That one day we'll see Him and we'll be like Him, and death only brings us closer to Him. This gospel is amazing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the beginning of something wonderful. It's the beginning of something amazing. Are we still on that journey? Or are there lesser fears that are consuming us, emptying us, cutting us off from others? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it's not just any old knowledge. You know, these days, you want to know anything? Google it. Got so much information. And isn't the world so much better for it? And aren't we so much more harmonious because we've got so much more knowledge? And you know what? You can Google anything and find it. It's not just any old knowledge that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of. It's a knowledge of Him. Knowledge of who He is, what He is like. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of something new, something wonderful, something amazing. The fear of the Lord informs our choices and our decisions. The fear of the Lord transforms our lives. But here's the sad thing. For those who don't fear God in this life, they will come to a place of unspeakable and unshakable horror. They will face true terror. Those who don't fear God, those who don't want God, they will come to a place of inescapable, just and proper judgment. And more than that, they will realize with huge eternal regret that it didn't have to be this way. I can't begin to imagine the sense of utter dread and horror that will grip those who reject Jesus Christ in this life. Fear in its fullest form for them in that moment will be inescapable, unavoidable, and eternal. But it's not inescapable and unavoidable today. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of God's grace. This is the day where grace will teach the heart to fear. You say, are you saved? Are you saved? What are you saved from? What are you saved to? With this, I'll close, I think. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence. Confidence where? Confidence for the day of judgment. For because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. There is no dread. There is no slavishness. There is no running. That kind of fear. There is not that kind of fear in God's love. But perfect love drives out, casts out, banishes fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Folks, this morning as we come to break bread, we can draw near with confidence to this holy, awesome God who is a consuming fire. We can call him Father. We can delight in him. We can embrace him and expect his embrace of us because of Calvary, because of the blood that was shed for us. Folks, as we come to break bread this morning, are you experiencing the love of God that drives out slavish fear? Are you experiencing the fear of God that is so magnetic and powerfully drawing you to himself? Or does the thought of meeting with God fill you with a sense of utter dread? Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is our time of need, and we need to draw near in faith. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your awesome love for us. Lord, there are times we confess when we still have that slavish kind of fear. We allow fears to dominate us and shape us and even take us from that sense of relationship with you. They paralyze us. They hem us in. They stunt our growth. Our fears can dominate us. Father, help us. Draw us by the power of your love into that place where we fear you with a great delight in our hearts, where we're focused, standing firm in the knowledge that you will not punish us, for you have punished your Son in our place, and you have drawn us close to you. Deal with us in your mercy. Let us see your beauty, your majesty, your awesomeness. Free us from the fears that dominate and bring us into that experience where fear, the fear of the Lord, delights us.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.